like President Obama. Nobody around here is getting good marks. It's like my daughter in school. Oh, everybody didn't do well on that test.
That poll, forget about that poll.
We're all, that's right. Well, it's time now to turn our attention to our favorite subject of the morning.
Words. You know, you could have played the Bee Gees. Words. How about that?
I was already backed up with the doorknob thing. You gave me, you said, go find a song about doorknobs.
Yeah.
There are no songs.
It's not easy.
Doorknobs as well. We have with us from the American Heritage Dictionary, we have, I'm lost my place here. Where are we at? We have Steve Kleinedler. He joined us last year, remember, when they had words.
That's right.
And of course, it's an ever, increasing dictionary and changing things around. Good morning, Steve. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back. It's a pleasure to talk to you all again.
All right. What's new for 2013 that was not good enough in 2012 that 2013 had to come up with more words or changes in words? What's the latest?
Well, the language is always expanding, and we're always looking for new information to impart. You'll recall last year I probably talked about some food items and some science words, and that's still the case. There are still rapid areas of growth for English. This year, if you are into food this morning, we've added things like chilaquiles, which is a Mexican breakfast dish, fried tortillas with tomatoes and cheese, and it's served with eggs. We added the word crema, which is that foam that they put on top of a serving of espresso. Sometimes your baristas will make it into like little leaf shapes or other things if they're particularly talented. One of you mentioned your daughter in school. We added the term course pack, which is the group of assigned readings that teachers and professors will make their students read. It can be in print form or in digital form, and this so you don't have to buy a whole series of books. You've got just the sections that they want you to read.
Steve, I get on Bruce's case sometimes. He does. He's an announcer for a spelling bee we have here in Lorain County, and I get on his case sometimes because he has to pronounce foreign words, like, and they ask the kids to spell like ratatouille. At what point does a foreign word make its way into the American Heritage Dictionary?
That's a really good question. I call it the Złoty issue, after the term of the Polish currency. Is it a Złoty? Is it a Złoty? At what point does a foreign word become an English word? I think, especially in terms of food, a really good predictor is when newspapers and magazines start using the word without explaining what it is. A lot of times when words come over, with food words, if they refer to some type of food or some type of preparation, and they have to explain what it is within the article, that's a good sign that it's still not fully anglicized if it came from a foreign source. Whereas, you know, when you, crema is a really good example of that. You go to your coffee store and you get it. There's no explanation of what it is. You see articles about coffee shops and whatnot, and they use it without defining it within the article. That's usually a really good indication that it has jumped into English.
How do you know then whether you're putting the Americanized pronunciation of this word or you're just taking a foreign word and sticking it into the American dictionary?
That is also a really good question. With certain words, we will do a lot of thank goodness, you know, for the internet, you can get audio tapes or news footage of people using these words in context. If it's a science word, we'll go to science websites or medical facilities or research institutions and listen how the researchers are saying it. With food words, we're going to cooking sites, cooking programs, and listening how the people use the word. And as you would imagine, with foreign words especially, there's a lot of variation. Sometimes they're more anglicized than others, but so you just have to do a lot of listening and checking from around the country. And you'll notice a lot of these words have multiple pronunciations because it's not quite settled yet.
Steve, there's one word going in this year that we use here very often, especially during the winter months, and that's whiteout. I would have thought that would have been in the American Heritage Dictionary a long, long time ago.
Well, actually, whiteout has a new sense, and there is a meteorological sense that has long been in there, but the use that it's used nowadays to refer to heavy windblown or falling snow where visibility is almost zero, for whatever reason, back when whiteout was first edited in the 60s, they had this meteorological definition, but not the more common one. And this is just a good example of how periodically reviewing even existing words that you think you're well covered is very important. Because here's an example where there's a more common sense that just wasn't being paid attention to. So we were happy to get that in there.
Well, Steve, I found my favorite word for at least November, since there's sort of that, we have the national, the Great American Smokeout. This word is, it took me half an hour to get this pronounced right. I think it's neonicotinoid.
It's important, and it is related to nicotine. This is one of those chemicals that's used in an insecticide, and it's linked, in among other things, to colony collapse disorder. It's being investigated as a pollutant in the environment that is doing a lot of damage to a lot of ecosystems. It was very much in the news over the last year or two. That's one of the reasons why we thought it was...
Wait a minute. You're telling me that there's actually news broadcasters that actually have said the word neonicotinoid? I could highly doubt I could... They might have printed it and everybody stayed away from it. Because I looked at this word and I thought, neonicotinoid?
In this case, we probably would have gone to the NEH, the National... the science... The National Science Foundation or NPR, I think, did a big piece on it. So you can find the information. This one we'd probably have gone off.
How about some scientists. How about some pop culture type of things? Photobomb is in there.
That's the one I'm going to use that a lot. I'm going to drop a photobomb in 2014.
This is a lot of that compound words.
I like that one.
We just take words, put them together, and now we got a new photobomb.
Yeah, that would relatively newer than some of the other words on here, and it's a great pop culture word. It's a you'll see evidence of this all across the internet on people's on websites, on Facebook for sure. It's a fun word, and we thought it was a neat thing to include.
There's a word in here that's not part of your words, but it's part of your explanation. Now, you talk about new and revised usage of a usage notes, and there's a thing related to hopefully, where people put it in. And then there's somewhere in this definition or description, you have a word shibboleth? Shibboleth. I'm going right to that word. What is that?
It's pronounced either way, and that's part of it's shibboleth. Because it is also pronounced sibboleth back in Hebrew, it refers to a word that is identified with a particular group or a pronunciation that distinguishes one group of people from another. For example, using Ohio as an example, you will have people in Ohio who say things like, the car needs to be washed, and you will have people who say the car needs washed. The phrasing "the car needs washed" is a shibboleth defining people who spoke or their family at one point probably spoke Pennsylvania Deutsch.
Steve, earlier this week, Bruce and I talked about a British company selling a new product based on the onesie. It's called a twinsie. Number one is onesie. Do you know if that's in your dictionary? And number two, any chance of getting twinsie in there?
Onesie is defined as it's a trademark, so we have to define it as such. It is in a trademark for a brand of one piece garment for infants. Twinsie, that's a interesting thing, and it's something that we can certainly add to our list to research further. And it should be noted that the suffix IE is very productive. You can the suffix IE itself is entered, and you can add it to a lot of things to make something smaller or diminutive, in this case having to do with children, that sort of thing.
I got it. Great. Thanks very much. We have Steve Kleinedler, our guest today this morning, talking about new things in the American Heritage Dictionary, and people can check out more information, I guess.
Yes, if you go to, if your listeners go to ahdictionary.com, they have a they have the entire dictionary at their disposal. You can also buy it as an app, and the print book is still available in brick and mortar stores and online.
That's great, Steve. Thanks very much for joining. Appreciate the time this morning with you.
Thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure.